Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville this morning. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather to worship the King of Kings. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today and also those joining us via live stream. So I've got some really good news for you today. Jesus is still alive. Just in case you were wondering, he's still alive. So today, we're going to gather and we're going to worship our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, I've come to believe that every morning we should wake up and should be thinking about celebrating a resurrected Jesus from the dead every morning. Because it's not just Easter morning that we gather and do that celebration. It should be a lifelong thing that we're focusing on every morning. So without a doubt, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave is the greatest event ever in the history of the world. If Jesus would have remained in the tomb, we wouldn't have the hope that we have today. But he is alive. So please join the worship team this morning in singing praises to our risen and living Jesus.
I invite you to stand with us as we sing the first song, and during this song, the ushers will come forward to receive our offerings, and the children may come forward for My Coins Count.
To understand, but God has built, but God. stands one who is my Savior.
I invite you to bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your many gifts that you bring. Lord, you're the author of every good and perfect gift, and we thank you for the gift of freedom. Lord, we thank you that you, because of your sacrifice and your good gifts, that you have broken the chains of sin that imprison us. And Lord, this morning as we give to support for prison ministries, we think of those who are imprisoned by walls. Lord, we ask that your glory would go forth and would go into those places in the Lancaster County Prison and the Youth Intervention Center. And as a new prison is being designed, Lord, that you would infuse even that process, but that most importantly, that your glory would go forth even in the places of hopelessness, whether they're in the dark corners of our heart or in the dark corners of the Lancaster County Fortress. We thank you for the word of your truth that you will bring this morning. We ask your special anointing on Larry. Lord, you would just give him the courage and the clarity of thought and communication to share what it is that you want us to hear, and help us to appreciate him regardless of how we feel about that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Salvation by your love.
that you are our living hope, that you are living and alive, and that we can spend eternity with you when we ask you for forgiveness and recognize our sins, Lord, and make you the Lord and the center of our lives. Just be with us the rest of this service, Lord, and be with Larry as he brings us the message that you have laid on his heart. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's that time of the year again to begin shopping for gifts for Operation Christmas Child. There's displays in the other foyer. If you have any questions, you can contact Donna Weaver about that. So I encourage each one of you to consider getting a box and filling it. So I invite the children to come forward for our children's story. There's plenty of room. You can sit over here. That's it. Good. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. So what do you see on the screen?
Possum.
Possum. What do you know about a possum?
It's a gray creature with a long tail.
What'd you say? Destroy your garden. Wow. So it's a big animal with a long tail, or an animal with a long tail. Well, it looks like you've got a long snout. Looks like he's got a long tail with no hair on it. Looks like a big rat to me.
Yeah, a big rat with a long tail.
So where do you think they live?
Underground. Everywhere.
Wow. Anywhere they want to. Maybe they live in a hollow log. Maybe they live in amongst the rocks, a hole in the rocks. Maybe they live under your storage shed if you got a storage shed out behind your house. Okay. So what do you think? What do you think a possum eats? What do you think a possum eats?
Rats.
He does sometimes. Yeah, that's what I read on the internet.
And bugs.
Bugs. Yep. Insects, yep. Also read that he rummages through garbage, eats green leafy things, fruits, vegetables.
Oh, wait, I
don't know what that means, but yeah, he probably is. Thank you. Yes, that's probably what he does. Good. So, also, did you know that possums have a pouch like a kangaroo?
Yeah,
that's where they carry their babies. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, you guys know more than I do. Maybe you ought to be up here talking about possums. So, I read that they stay in the pouch till they're about 4 months old. And, you know, sometimes they ride on their mom's back when they move around. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? They ride around their mom's back. I also read that when they're born, they're really, really tiny. And I read that 10 baby possums can fit in a teaspoon. That's a teaspoon. Can you imagine 10 little babies being in that teaspoon? That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Why would I be kidding? They're very tiny. Also, another thing about possums.
They play dead.
Exactly. When they are attacked or they are in fear that someone's going to attack them or get after them or hurt them or harm them, they fall over and play dead. And they do that, it's nothing they can control, it's just an automatic response that they have. And they can lay like that for up to 40 minutes or several hours at a time until they finally come back to life again. Did you know that some people believe that Jesus really didn't die, that he just maybe passed out, or maybe he was playing possum and then came back to life again. But that's not at all what the Bible tells us. The Bible teaches us, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So if you hear somebody saying Jesus didn't really die, you know that's not true, because the Bible tells us something completely different. That he did die, he rose again from the grave, that we can have the gift of eternal life. Yes, sir.
And that's telling a lie.
It's a lie that he didn't die. That's exactly right. It's a total lie. That's right. Okay. So I'm going to have a prayer for you guys. You can get a snack and head back to your parents. Thank you, God, for these children. I pray your blessing upon them today. And also we ask that they would remember the truth of your word, that you did indeed die, you're raised from the dead, you died so we can have our sins forgiven and have the gift of eternal life. So we ask for your blessing upon them today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So grab a snack and head back to your parents. Well, again, greetings in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And again, welcome to Bowmansville. Good to see each one of you here today. I want to thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message. And Sandy and I would also like to thank you for the gifts that you gave to us as a congregation for pastor appreciation. Thank you for your prayers, words of encouragement. We really appreciate that. And may God richly bless you for that. I just wanted to let you know that Henry Horning has passed away early this morning. So I just want to pause and have a word of prayer for the Horning family. And also I'd like to pray for Willis Weaver, who is still recovering from COVID, who has been very, very sick. So I just want to pause and have a word of prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we come before you today, recognizing again that you are all-powerful. Just want to lift up the Horning family to you this morning as they mourn the loss of their father, grandfather, brother, uncle. Be with them. Be close to them. May they sense your presence surrounding them. And I ask, Father God, that you would comfort them during this time of deep loss. And also that you pour out your peace upon them. We also lift up Willis to your throne of grace. I pray, Almighty God, that you would pour out your physical healing upon his physical body in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would also be with Mabel as well. We just lift them up to you and ask for your touch upon their lives. So we just ask now that you would be with us as we look into your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be continuing the sermon series, Defending Our Faith, that Tony began 2 weeks ago. And I don't think I need to tell you that we live in a day and age where Christian values and principles are constantly under attack. Biblical principles and basic foundational truths are being questioned and cast aside at an alarming rate. This is not only happening in the world around us, it is also happening within the church. Our enemy, Satan, knows full well if he can get anyone to begin to doubt that the Bible is true and relevant for our lives today, he has gained a foothold, and deception can be very swift. One of the signs of the end times is deception. Matthew 24:23-24, it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." The Bible says the time will come. I believe that time is now. Now, of course, this is all irrelevant nonsense if anyone does not believe in the Holy Bible, that it is the God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, which has its origin in Almighty God. This is all irrelevant nonsense if anyone does not believe in the authority of the Scripture as our guide for living in this cold, dark world. Why Jesus? It is of utmost importance that we believe in the Holy Bible, because when we entertain thoughts of doubt, we're in a slippery slope where one doubt leads to another, and we believe that nothing in the Bible is true. Sandy and I went to the Ark Encounter several years ago. I saw a sign there that says, "If I can convince you," and you notice there's a serpent wrapped around that sign, "if I can convince you that the flood was not real, then I can convince you that heaven and hell are not real also." So I think that's why Pastor Tony chose to share about the Bible in the first message of this series, because the Holy Bible is the solid foundation upon which our faith is built. Pastor Tony shared a great deal of archaeological evidence that has been and is continuing to be discovered that gives great evidence to the fact that the Scriptures are indeed God's holy word for us today. So I believe with all my being that this is indeed God's word, which is given for you and me to guide us on this journey we call life. That doesn't mean that we live perfectly holy and sinless lives, because the Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it leads me back to another question: why Jesus? Why is what we believe about Jesus important? Does it really matter? At a crucial point in Jesus' ministry, he asked his disciples a question. In Matthew 6, 13 to 15, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" The answer you or anyone gives to this question may possibly be the most important question that there is. No, it is the most important question, because it will have a huge impact on where someone will spend eternity. So who did Jesus claim to be? Who does the Bible say he is? And we're only going to look at a few things that Jesus claimed who he was. So in John 8, 58, he says, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am." And then we see the Jews responded by picking up stones to stone him for this bold statement. Jesus was applying the name the Jews attached to God to himself. And in Exodus 3, where Moses encountered God through the burning bush and was called to lead the Israelites out of Israel, we read this in Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" So in John 8, the Jews were rejecting Jesus' identity as God incarnate. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus makes "I am" statements about himself that we're probably all very familiar with. Statements like, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then no one comes to the Father except through me." So at the beginning of this message, I mentioned that biblical principles and biblical truth is being challenged and cast aside at an alarming rate. Sometimes it hits very close to home. Several weeks ago, I was asked to share at my uncle's funeral. They gave me the passage, John 14, to share about. And so I shared about what Jesus said: "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Several weeks later, I received a note in the mail from my cousin. And she said, "Just want to thank you for preaching and proclaiming the truth, because since my father died, I'm the only one left in my family who believes that Jesus is the only way to God." He said, "I have a lovely brother and a lovely sister, but they both bought into this idea that all roads lead to God. You go your way, I go my way. In the end, we'll end up in heaven together, happily ever after." That is part of the deception that is being spread throughout the world. And like I said, it's also creeping into the church as well. The rejection of biblical truth is not something that is just happening out there somewhere. Sometimes it happens very close to home. Lastly, Jesus claimed in John 15, "I'm the true vine." And then a few verses later in verse 5b, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." God said his name is "I am" in Exodus. And then Jesus comes along and he makes all these "I am" statements. Why? Was he exercising positive self-talk? I believe he was letting the first century Jews who were familiar with God's definition of himself, "I am," he was letting them know that he was indeed God incarnate, that he was the Messiah, the one that they were waiting for. Why Jesus? Because we all need a Messiah. We all need a Savior. The coming of the Messiah was prophesied various times throughout the Old Testament. I believe there are 48 specific prophecies throughout the Old Testament, and every one of them has come true. Jesus, the promised Messiah, came to this earth in the form of a little baby, born in Bethlehem in a stable, just like it was prophesied. You can read about his birth, his death, and his resurrection in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole purpose of Jesus, the Messiah, coming can be found in a very familiar verse that we all learned in Sunday school. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Then verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus also said in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood so my sin, so your sin could be forgiven and we can experience abundant life on this earth today and in the future. Why, Jesus? He died so our sins could be washed away and we can be white as snow. That's good news. He is risen. Amen. He is risen. And that's at the heart of our faith. Sometimes I think we stop at the cross where Jesus died. We stop there. But there's more. It gets even better. I've come to believe that Jesus' resurrection from the grave, his victory over death, is the key to the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. All four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, write about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I believe that we are called to live like we believe the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is true. I believe we all understand that it is true. But sometimes the head knowledge doesn't filter down and affect our attitudes and our behavior. Not only is the cross empty, the tomb is empty also. I'd like to read from John 20, verses 1 to 16. I'm going to be reading this from the Living Bible this morning. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone was rolled aside from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and me and said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they put him." We ran to the tomb to see. I outran Peter and I got there first and stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but I didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went on inside. He also noticed the cloth lying there, while the swath that had covered Jesus' head was rolled up in a bundle and was lying at the side. Then I went in too and saw and believed that he had risen. For until then, we hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would come to life again. We went on home, and by that time, Mary had returned to the tomb, was standing outside crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in and saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have taken him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" he asked her. "Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him. "Master." He is risen. I want to live my life like I believe the resurrection is truth. The resurrection of Jesus is important for several reasons. The resurrection witnesses to the immense power of God. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. If God exists, and if he created the universe and has power over it, then he also has power to raise the dead. If he doesn't have any such power, then he is not worthy of our faith and our worship. Only he who created life can resurrect it after death. Only he can reverse the curse. Only he can remove the sting of death and gain victory over the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be, namely the Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11:25. In that statement, he claimed to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Jesus. Jesus does more than give life. Jesus is life. Therefore, death has no power over him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. This church was in the heart of Greek culture, so many believers had a difficult time believing in a bodily resurrection. Paul wrote this part of his letter to clear up confusion about the resurrection. So in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Then down to verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. And verse 20a. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He is risen. But there's more. Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:17-20. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen. I wish I could consistently live my life believing that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to me every morning that I wake up. Because sometimes I get it, and other times I fall short. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward at this time. How do I know Jesus is alive today? How do you know that Jesus is alive today? Well, we're going to sing the song, "I Serve a Risen Savior," because when we can testify of what Jesus has done for us in our lives, and we share that with other people, they can't argue about that because it's our, it's what happened to me. You might want to try and argue about it, but you can't because this is real life experience. So we're going to sing this song, "I Serve a Risen Savior," and I want you all to sing it like you believe it. Sing it like this is your experience. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. So worship team, would you please lead us in singing this song?
Will you please stand to sing this song with us?
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
Amen. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, I just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would pour out the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon us all here this morning so that we can know you better. I also pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened so that we can know without a doubt the hope to which you have called us. And I pray that we would know your incomparably great power that is available to us who believe. Help us to know and understand that the power that is available to us is like the working of your mighty strength that you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. I pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And now we're going to sing Same Power as a closing song.
I can see the waters reaching at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
Amen. So as you go this week, go live your life like you believe in the power of the resurrection in your life. Would you stand to receive this benediction? May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.